It is good to see everyone today on this August 14th, 2022. And the title of today's message is The High Calling of God. And it's actually in the scripture, The High Calling of God for Our Lives in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And so today, good Lord willing, we are going to look at the high calling of God in the lives of individuals, but also in the founding of America. We're going to take a few moments today and look at the original charters for the 13 colonies, just some of them, not all of them, and see the higher purpose of why those guys and ladies risked their lives to cross the Atlantic. I have stood at a park called Charlestown Landing in Charleston, and it's on Albemarle Creek. And it's a state park now. But there's a replica of the boat that about 40 Europeans came over to Charlestown, T-O-W-N-E at the time, in 1609. And it's about 40 feet long. It's wooden. It's similar to a Spanish galleon. And I guess it draws maybe about 6 or 8 foot of water as it goes through the water, and it's got this huge cargo area that is the bow of the boat. And as I was thinking about that this week, I would not try to cross the Atlantic today in a 40-foot fiberglass Chris craft with sonar and radar and GPS. How dangerous that would be to leave from South Carolina and go to Europe in a 40-foot modern boat with gasoline engine and everything else. And yet, 9,000 settlers came to America 1602 to 1612 or so on different wooden galleons to get here. 8,000 died within the first 2 years. So what would motivate someone to risk their lives? You say money and risk. It's got to be more than that. Yeah. And so I'll share with you some of the writings of these folks. So we're going back further than who we call the founding fathers of the Constitution. Now, we're going back to the original settlers, who had an understanding of the high calling of God. And it's the same understanding you and I have as we develop this today. But we're going to look at how this worldview, how this way of thinking and living affects our lives. So Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 says this: "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Now, that word perfect in the Greek is teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S. And it means completeness, to come to a full or a fuller maturity. So it means not as though I'd already attained or come to the most mature place in my life as a Christian. You know, as a Christian. But I follow after, I still pursue it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press and strive toward the mark, always moving forward for the prize of the high calling of the purpose that God has for my life right now in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, even though we're living here on earth, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the high calling of God deals with my life right now in the present, and my life in the future. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we call on you today, I ask for forgiveness, daily sin. Pray to be cleansed. Pray, Father, to be anointed with your Spirit to focus on washing the feet of these people who have gathered today to hear your truth and those that will listen on this website. And Father, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts as we look at the Scriptures. Father, I pray for Patty now that you would comfort her heart. Father, she has the most sensitive, breakable heart. And Father, I know her concern. If her father is near death at this moment in South Carolina, I know her concern is for his salvation. And as Cleo prayed, Lord, I pray we'll get word somehow, some way, that someone shared Jesus with him since Patty did last month. But Father, I pray your comfort for Patty. I pray your clarity for myself. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to dive into this in a moment. I had an uncle I was very close to in South Carolina. We hunted, we fished together. Grew up together in a lot of ways. And he ended up having some very, very difficult times in his life. He was a contractor. He lost everything, made bad decisions, made bad choices. My mama tried to minister to him in many ways. He ended up in a trailer park in Walterboro, South Carolina, not far from where Patty's dad is now. And probably 8 years after his death, I was preaching a revival in Walterboro, South Carolina. And Patty and I went up to I-95. We're eating at a Waffle House. And as I'm sitting there eating, two gentlemen are at the other end in the Waffle House. And one of them comes up and he goes, "I'm going to ask you something." And he said, "You may not be the guy, but I'm going to ask you." He goes, "Are you Leo Doyle?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Leo, I'm so-and-so." He goes, "I remember when you were at Zion Baptist Church. I've heard you in revivals. I haven't seen you in, you know, 20, 30 years. He said, "But I want to tell you something. I had a ministry at a trailer park outside of Walterboro for years. And I used to do a Bible study weekly with your Uncle Al Jennings." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Nope." I said, "Well, you know, he never wanted to have anything to do with God when I knew him." He said, "Well, I want you to know something. He got saved." And he said, "He was very proud of you." Eight years after his death. Is that not something? In a Waffle House on I-95. And he was sitting with another guy, and the other guy, who I knew of also, he said, "There's no way that's Leo Doyle." But I think he heard my voice. People say all the time, "We might not recognize you, but your voice has not changed." So I praise God. My hair's falling out, my teeth have fallen out, but my voice is not falling out yet. All right, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I am today, and you are today, and whether you're young people or older folks or wherever you are in your station in life, we are to live out a higher calling, a higher purpose of God now in our present life through our personal life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ with an eye toward the future. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. So how we live, how we think, how we view life, our perspective in life, is always a moving forward and a moving up. I have a hope that my life can always get better in Jesus. I have a hope that I can always find more victories in Jesus. I have a hope that God can fix any problem in this life in Jesus. And I know God has a purpose and plan for me. When I'm in school, when I'm in high school, when I'm in college, when I'm first married, all the way through my life, God's got a plan for me right now, today, and a purpose for my life. And then secondly, I know that I have a hope in heaven. That Lehman can sing a song about people that have gone to heaven, that my loved ones have gone to heaven, that this is not all there is, and that we have a life in eternity where we're going to be reunited. So I have hope in this life, and I have hope in the life to come. And so, you know, I know that's what's breaking Patty's heart at this moment. And she has shared that with me. She said, "You're so blessed to know your mom and dad knew Jesus." So if there's someone in your life today and you're not sure they know Jesus, I would approach them this week out of love. Say, "I'm just asking this because I love you, because I care about you. And I just want to share with you that Jesus Christ loves you and He died on a cross for you." But let me give you the Greek there. That word high, the high calling, that high is ano, A-N-O. And it means upward or above. It means heavenly and celestial, even like a star in heaven. It means pertaining to things that are above, that are heavenly, and that are divine. Pertaining to things that are above and heavenly and divine. I mean, it's John chapter 3. When I get born again, I get born in the Spirit. I get born from above. So there's a whole new spiritual perspective. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to heaven yet, but heaven's come to me. Galatians chapter 3 says that when someone gets born again, God sends the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, from heaven into their hearts. So that's why my citizenship is in heaven. That's why my future is in heaven. And so we've got that hope. So it's pertaining to things that are above. So what Paul is speaking of here is, I've got an elevated purpose in my life and an elevated calling. Now, that word calling is klesis, K-L-E-S-I-S. And it actually means to call toward or to invite. And then the deeper meaning is to go somewhere or to go in a certain direction. To go in a certain direction. So Paul says, I've got a high calling of God in Christ Jesus in my life, where the Lord is always leading me in a certain direction, guiding me in a certain direction for His purpose, for His glory, so that my life will be blessed more and I can affect others for Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. I'll get to it in a moment and I'll show you some strong, very strong verses. Your life has eternal consequences. And that's what this higher calling is all about. My life has eternal consequences that are going to affect me for eternity. And my life has eternal consequences that are going to affect others for eternity. You're going to see Jesus say, you know, don't cause one of these little children to stumble. Because of the eternal consequences that are in our life and as we affect others. And you know, that's what motivates me. I feel like every Sunday morning I get to affect people spiritually by His Holy Spirit through the Word of God as I try my best to lead you to the truth of the Scriptures. That it'll have eternal consequence in your life presently and in the future. So it's a call, it's an invitation to go in a higher direction. You don't have to turn there, but I gave you this scripture a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 15:24. The path of the righteous leads upward. You know, we ought to have that feeling that we're moving forward. We're moving upward. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my strength? My strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We've got this dynamic in our thinking and in our perspective. Now take all that away. You wonder about these people that go into these schools and shoot these innocent children. You wonder about these people in our big cities that have no value for people's lives. You wonder about these people that end up in all of this destructive behavior and all these things. My heart breaks for these folks because they're not receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. God loves you and has a plan for your life. You are to have value and worth in a godly way. They feel worthless. And they feel like their life's not going in an upward direction. It's going downward or it's going backwards. And you can feel that way too if you allow yourself to. You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in the consistency of prayer. And allow the Lord to speak to you and guide you. You need the sensitivity of discernment of the Holy Spirit so you can make the correct decisions and choices in life. And I really believe 80% of people that are in church houses in America today, they're nowhere close to what we're studying right now. They go to church, but they don't see the elevation and the strength and the purpose and the plan of God in their life. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful. Let me show that to you. Go into Psalm 40. And the psalmist understood this. David understood this. Solomon understood this. Paul understood it. John understood it. In Psalm 40, verse 1, David says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. I want to praise God because of the higher purpose of God in Christ Jesus that I have in my life. I can cry out to Jesus, and I know He's there. We pray to the God who is there. Even there are people that don't think God's there.
Amen. Yeah.
And they don't think God's there for them. But see, that's what we have, and that's what Paul's speaking of. I want to experience this more and more, and I'll show you a verse in a moment. But notice what he says. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Grab that now. He brought me up. He brought me up. Out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a high rock, and hath established my goings. I want to praise God. There are times I can get myself down in a pit, but I've got a God that can get me out of it and can lift me up. My heart breaks for the folks that get in a pit and can't get out for decades. And they live their lives in the pit. And we've got to let them know there's a God out there that'll get you out of the pit. And then what happens? Then he puts a new song in my mouth. Praise unto God. So when God does something for you, you need to tell others about it. Look at what he says. Many will hear it and see it. So God blesses us so we can glorify God and bless others. I'm going to tell you something. The best way you can help somebody in a bad situation is to be able to tell them, I've been there. And you know, when we're going through it, we don't want to be there. But when we go through it and we've been there and God gets us out of it, He has equipped us to help others who are there now.
Amen.
Yes. And you say, Brother Leo, what are you talking about? That's the perspective of the higher calling of God. It's a mental perspective in which you understand, I don't know why I'm going through this right now. It's terrible. It's awful. It's horrible. But you've got to understand God is probably preparing you to glorify Him and to help others. And that's why your prayer as you go through these things is, Lord, help me to glorify You. Lord, help me to grow in this situation. And so He says this, He hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, reverence, respect, and worship the Lord. That word means all of those things. And they will trust in the Lord. They will trust in the Lord. And Lehman, what's the greatest thing you can do? Tell somebody you were lost and how you got saved, and then maybe they can trust in the Lord. The way we live our lives has eternal consequences, not only for our life, but for the lives of others. And that's the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. The higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. So go back to Philippians chapter 3. You know, I don't know why I'm going through this, Brother Leo, but God's got a plan. God's wanting to use me. God's wanting to equip us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, he says this, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now there's that word again, teleos, and it means completeness, to come to a full or a fuller maturity in Christ. That's what Paul's striving for a fuller completeness, a fuller maturity in Christ, lacking nothing, to be full grown in understanding and faith and knowledge of the truth and character and in virtue. I'm going to say it again. To be full grown in faith and knowledge of the truth, in character, in virtue, in understanding of the Scriptures. I want to praise God, I can grow in all those areas. That's the higher calling. And Paul said, I'm striving to get greater understanding. I'm striving to increase the strength of virtue in my life. I'm striving to see strongholds of sin defeated by the mortification of my flesh. And in verse 16 he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Keep pushing. It's my goal to encourage and push you. It's your goal to encourage and push me in the Spirit. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. You know, we're called, the higher calling of God is that we set examples one for another in our Christian faith. And so that's how we handle situations, to set an example. I need to set an example for these young people. I need to set an example for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all need to set an example for each other, for all of us. And so we see purpose in all the things that we do. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, if you go back. He says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. The things that were very, very important to me, my religious standing, being a Pharisee, and all those things, I counted those lost, but for my relationship with Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Jesus personally, being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then in verse 10, he's saying that the praise worship song we hear now, you're a good, good father. Look at what he says in verse 10, that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection, that's as high as you can go, the fellowship of His sufferings, that's as low as you can go, and be made conformable to His death. I want to die in the flesh. And then it says there, if by any other means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not a good Greek translation. And you can see in the next verse, he says, I'm going to press forward and strive. It means I will strive for or add any other efforts to experience more of Christ as I head toward the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to keep growing in this life until I attain the resurrection of the dead. I can look forward to my bodily resurrection. I can look forward today to victory in Christ Jesus in my daily life, and I look forward to eternity with everyone. There's no way we can go through the loss of loved ones if we didn't know we're going to be back together. I praise God we know that. And that's part of that higher calling. There are many people in America today and throughout the world, they have no concept of what I'm sharing with you. I realize I preach to the choir. I mean, you people take this as something you pretty much believed in all your life. I remember my granddaddy died. I was 6 years old. I went outside the house we still have in Charleston. I sat down by the marsh. I looked up into the blue sky. And I felt like my granddaddy was up there before I was ever saved. You know, 7 years probably, 6 years before I was ever saved, I'd already been raised with a concept of heaven, of earth, even of hell. Like Daniel always said, Patty's famous line with Daniel, if he did something wrong, Daniel say, now, Daniel, you know Jesus doesn't like that. We were at dinner with a bunch of folks in Nashville a couple years ago and talking about different things. And Daniel said, yeah, growing up, I sure enough knew what Jesus didn't like. He said, I learned what Jesus didn't like. But when you talk to your children about Jesus, what does that do? That reinforces the truth that Jesus is real. It reinforces the truth that Jesus wants to bless us, that we want to please Him, that we want to live a certain kind of life. Something as simple as that. Now we see in America the family has been disintegrated. Talk of the Lord has been disintegrated. Prayer, devotion, public worship has been taken out of the square, out of the school. And we wonder why things are like they are. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no God, there is no hope. Where there is no God, there is no value to life. And so it is our job to sound the trumpet. It is our job to speak of Jesus, to speak for Jesus, to speak about Jesus and the truth of the Word of God. And so Paul is saying, I want to know Him. I want to be found in Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the depth of His suffering. I want to be made conformable to the victories that He got and He experienced here on earth. And what he's saying inwardly, he's saying, Lord, I want you to take me deeper and deeper and deeper and higher and higher and higher in you, Christ Jesus. And that's the higher calling that we have in our Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he says this, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and reverence and respect and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to accomplish His will and to do of His good pleasure. So God's working in every one of you right now. This is part of His higher calling. God is working within everyone right now to accomplish His will in your life. I feel like Gamaliel so often when he spoke to the council and said, you know, if y'all keep arresting these disciples, you know, if this thing's not of God, it'll fall by the wayside. But if it is of God, you're going to find yourselves fighting against God. And if God is trying to work out His will in your life, sometimes I think you find yourself fighting against God. God's higher purpose is His will, His plan for your life. And you don't want to find yourself fighting against God. I've fought against God. I have fought against God. He's been trying to work His will out in my life at different times in my life. And instead of submitting and seeking God's will, I was asking Him to bless my plans. But part of the higher calling of God is God's purpose, His will. Look at what it says. It is God now, the omniscient, the omnipresent, the all-powerful God is working in your life to accomplish His will and to do the things that please Him. What you want to do is quit swimming against the stream. And man, just lay back and let Him carry out His will in your life. That's part of His higher purpose, because your life has eternal and divine consequences. Go with me to Matthew 18. The higher purpose of God. Part of the higher purpose of God is the present life, but part of the higher purpose of God is the future life. You know, I'm striving, but my citizenship is in heaven, Paul says in Philippians. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, it says this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst of them. And I believe Jesus was in the midst. And in all the paintings, you see a little child sitting on his lap. And he starts speaking about being converted as a child and humbling yourself as a child. But in verse 5, he says this: Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So if you minister to a little child and love on a little child, it's like you're ministering unto me. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, that means cause them to stumble or entice them into sin, the Greek word means to lead away from, and in this context, to lead away from God. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. In verse 8 he says, if your hand or your foot offend you, cause you to sin, lead you away from God, get it out of your life and cast it far away from you, for it is better to enter into eternal life with me, halt or maim, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. So what's he talking about? He's talking about eternity. And he's saying what we do in our life affects others, Cleo. You know, we have the opportunity to affect people in life-changing ways. He's talking about someone that would lead a little child astray. He's talking about a negative thing, but we have an opportunity to do a positive thing. We minister to somebody and their whole life can be changed. We minister to someone, their marriage can be saved, their family can be saved, the children can have a mom and dad in their life. We can affect people for God. But look how serious that is. When we don't realize our life has eternal consequences, he says it's better that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and you be thrown in the deepest lake in the world. So the way we live our life affects eternity, and the way we live our life affects others in eternity. Now, as a born-again child of God, I'm not talking about whether I'm going to heaven. I'm just talking about gain or loss of reward. Well, Brother Leo, I'm just not that interested in rewards. I just want to get there. I've heard that 100 times. I just want to get there. What you don't understand is how serious it is to be saved and then not live the life God planned out for you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a crown I cannot explain to you. I'm talking about people get saved, but they never live the purpose God planned for their life, the higher calling of God. Amen. They took jobs that gave them more money. They got in relationships that were most convenient. They lived wherever they wanted to live. They never sought the purpose and plan of God in five major areas in their life. What would those be, brother? Well, they'd be whatever, you know, who you marry, what kind of career path you choose, where you're going to be in life geographically, you know, different things in life. Oh, you mean we're supposed to pray about those things? You know, I just took for granted. You do this, you do this, you do it. I'm glad Columbus didn't take that attitude. Glad Jefferson, Washington, they didn't take that attitude. Magellan. Well, those guys moved because there was a call of God on their life. I'm reading to you, there's a call of God on everybody's life. It's called the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. I remember when I surrendered into the ministry, my mama came to me. She said, you know, you belong to God now. She said, wherever God leads you, me and your daddy, we love you. I was 28 years old before I ever left my hometown. I left a college to go back to my hometown. Are you blessed in Wayne County, Brother Leo? I'm more blessed in Wayne County than anywhere I've ever lived in my life, and I didn't even know Wayne County existed. Well, how did you get to Wayne County? God led me here. God opened doors. God had me do revivals in Tampa, Florida with a man who eventually retired to Wayne County, and that's how he got me to Wayne County. God got me to Wayne County through a man I knew in Tampa, Florida. How'd you know the man in Tampa, Florida? Because there was a man in Tampa, Florida who came to Somerville, South Carolina and joined my church and called the man in Tampa, Florida and said, you got to have this guy for a revival in Tampa. And you think about the wondrous ways God works in people's lives. Well, that's how He wants to work in your life. That's how He wants to work in your life. How do you get from Houston to the back side of the desk? Brother Leo, you just offended us. You called Wayne County the back side of the desk. It's not. But what I'm saying is, you don't cut on the Travel and Leisure Channel and see specials on Waynesboro, Tennessee. So how'd you get from Houston out here? It wasn't something you saw on TV. I know what you did. You Googled cheap land and dumb people. And we popped up number one. God moves upon our lives and He's got a higher calling. And we have this eternal consequences in our life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the scripture says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does that mean, brother? It means, Vance Havner used to say, he would write in his diary, he said, I made a deposit in my eternal bank account today. That would be the first line. I made a deposit in my eternal bank account today. And the second line was, I didn't do any work. I left my house and went and sat by the pond. And then he'd write a list of all the birds he saw because he was an ornithologist. I mean, he knew everything about wildlife and birds. And he said, I spent time with my Heavenly Father. He looked at life that way. Are we laying up treasures in it? Are we doing things here on earth that really mean something eternally? You know, I don't know if Patty's dad will live today or live through the week. I don't know what's going on in that situation. I'll find out when I get to her here in a moment when I leave here. But I often have this thought. If I were on my deathbed today, and I were in my last hours, as I look back over my life, what would I think about? You know, what would I think about? You know, what really is important? You know what? How old was Taylor Grace, Liam?
Six.
Miss Catherine was 98. You know, everywhere between there.
Yeah.
You know, death is not prejudiced. We've been confronted with so much death in the last year in our community. Patty and I personally. You know, Pat, almost every day, Patty says, you know, we're not going to waste this day. You know, we're not going to let the devil steal this day. We live as if we're always going to be here on earth. And the Lord says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Have your life live with eternal treasure here on earth. Not the things of this world that we get so preoccupied with and overwhelmed with. I want to thank you. I know you started praying for me last week when I asked. I confess that for 2 years I've lost my consistency with God. Well, even before that, because Dad had sundowners when he was in Charleston and it was really bad. But we didn't know. We know now how to help people who have loved ones with dementia. But when we went through it, we were kicking and screaming. But my time alone with the Lord has not been what it had been in 35 previous years or so. But this past week, I had six, every day, 6 days of solid time alone with Jesus. I mean solid, in-depth time alone with Jesus. In intercession, petition, I was able to bathe people in prayer. Liz, I'm so praying for your cousin. And I'm just praying miracles of healing. But I also limited myself to maybe 30 minutes of watching the news. Well, you don't know what happened? Yeah, I know what happened, sweetie. It don't take more than 30 minutes to know what happened. Takes 30 minutes to tell you what happened, then it takes you 24 hours a day for 7 days to analyze it. And to cut it to one channel and get a total perspective on it, and then cut it to another one and get a total opposite perspective. I don't have to do that either. But it feels so good to spend time with Jesus and not watch all that. Well, you're not going to be informed. Well, I probably won't be. But I'm going to be in the Word. And I'm going to be in prayer. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let me show you one more, and then I've got one more, and we'll close out today. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16, he says this. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's part of your higher calling. That whatever you do, God is to be glorified. You're not to glorify yourself. But go back to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its effectiveness, wherefore shall it be salted? It is no good. It is good for nothing. You throw it out. You stomp all over it. You are a light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. It shouldn't be hid. It shouldn't be put under a bush or a bushel basket, a candlestick. You need to let it out so it gives light and lights up the house. So the question is, are we being eternally effective for Jesus Christ in the way we live our life? Or are we so caught up and consumed in our own little... I mean, you can get so consumed in your own little orbit and the things of this world, you end up like a mummy. Wrapped up in it. I mean wrapped up in it. When God just wants to free you and set you in a large place. I want to close out in Colossians 3. And I think this sums up the higher calling in Christ. And then I want to read to you some guys that had a higher purpose. Reading to you out of the Founder's Bible, David Barton. I'll read there in a moment. In Colossians, I need to get to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the scripture says this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Thank you, Lord, for the health to do this. Thank you, Lord, for the talent to do this. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to do this. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in this job, I'm in this school, I'm in this family. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here to do this and do this and do this. And let me give you thanks for that and do it for your glory. Verse 23 says it again. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not on a horizontal basis. Everything that God blesses you with, every door He opens, is not for the horizontal. Knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Eternity. We're living eternal. This is how those that first came to America fell. I'm just going to read you the charters, and then I'm going to read you the words of Winthrop. But I want you to understand this. In 1606, the Virginia Charter. Now, we're going back. We're not at 1776. We're at 1606. Okay. The Virginia Charter declared that the colony was started for the purpose of, and now I'm into the quotes, propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of Jesus Christ and of God. The Mayflower Compact of 1620 declared that their endeavor was undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. The 1629 Charter for the Massachusetts Bay Colony declared that winning the country to the knowledge and obedience of the only true God and Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ, and the Christian faith. This is the principal goal of this colony. 1629. They had a purpose. They weren't just coming to America to get rich. Now some were. But many came with this higher calling of God, just like today. A lot of people do things to glorify themselves. A lot of people do things to get money. A lot of people do things to make their lives easier. These people did things to glorify God. We need these people today. Us. This higher purpose. The 1639 Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the Charter of Connecticut, declared that its main purpose was to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, which we profess. These people are lying to you on the news. You do know that. They're the spirit of Antichrist, and they're lying. I saw that Ocasio-Cortez or somebody on the news the other day. That woman lies. She's lying. She was promoting this 1619 project that the former president stopped, and now the current president restarted. It said America was founded on evil principles of slavery. America was founded on Christian principles. America was not perfect, and slavery is wrong. No man should own another man. We are created equal in the eyes of God. Slavery is horrific. It was horrific when the Egyptians enslaved the Jews. It was horrific when the Babylonians enslaved the Jews. It was horrific when the English enslaved the Irishmen. It was horrific when the Nigerians enslaved those from Laos. There are tons of examples of slavery in the world. White folks enslaving white folks, black folks enslaving black folks, white folks enslaving black folks, etc., etc., etc. They are lying to you. And they don't want our kids studying history. This country was founded on Christian principles, but this country is no different than Leo Doyle. I am a Christian, but I am not perfect. But you can choose to love me, and you can choose to focus on the good virtues God has in my life. Or you can pick apart the bad things in my life and turn against me. There are folks in our country today that want to emphasize the small amount of bad things and turn us against a country that a lot of lives have been lost trying to defend democracy and freedom and everything else throughout the world. They are lying. They're lying to our kids, and they're lying in our textbooks, and they're lying in our colleges. 1643, United Colonies of New England. That's when they came together. 13 original colonies. I just want, you know, I'm not taking for granted anything anymore. I don't think anybody's getting taught squat. But the New England colonies came together, six of those, and this is what they wrote. 1643, United Colonies of New England affirmed, "We all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim. Namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the freedoms of the gospel in purity with peace." Is that not beautiful? That's why they came to America. For religious freedom to worship Jesus Christ in the way that they chose. Noah, there was no Hinduism. There was no Islam. It was founded on the religions of Christianity. That's why they came. I want to read you one more. I know I get fired up in this stuff. 1630, the Puritans came, and it was on the boat Arabella. John Winthrop, Winthrop College in South Carolina, John Winthrop was on that boat, and he wrote the charter for when they land. And it says this: "We are a company professing ourselves fellow members of Christ. It is our work to seek out a place of cohabitation and fellowship under a due form of government, both civil and ecclesiastical. The goal is to improve our lives so that we can do more service to the Lord." Is that not something? We want to have a good, prosperous life so we can serve God more. Isn't that wonderful? 16:30, "And to increase the body of Christ, which we are members, that ourselves and posterity may be better preserved from the common corruptions of this evil world to serve the Lord and work out our salvation under the power and purity of His holy ordinances. We must love brotherly without dissimulation." Romans 12:9, he put this in there. "We must love one another with a pure heart fervently." 1 Peter 1:22. "We must bear one another's burdens." Galatians 6:2. "We must not look only upon our own things, but also on the things of our brethren." Philippians 2:4. Then he writes a bunch of other stuff about the Lord, but then he says this: "Now the only way to avoid destruction and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of the prophet Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." Charter for the formation of a colony then. And then the colonies became states. So I want to close with this verse in Colossians 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the strength of the Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." My friend, everything you do, you have to ask yourself, how's this going to affect me spiritually? And how's this going to affect others spiritually? Your life has eternal consequences. I owe it to you to be the best Christian I can be. You owe it to me to be the best Christian you can be. We owe it to the United States of America to be the best Christians we can be. And to have this perspective of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything, that scripture says, everything you do or say, do it under the authority seeking the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way: "I strive, I press forward toward the mark that the high calling God has for me will be fulfilled and attained in this life." I've been told that 100 times, Lee. "Bro Leo, I just want to get to heaven. I'm not worried about all them rewards. I know I'm saved." It's going to be a great tragedy for many folks to stand before the Lord and Him say, "You were saved. But let me show you what your life should have been. Amen. Let me show you what your life could have been. I had gifted you in this area. I'd put these desires in your heart. I'd moved upon you. But you weren't open to the high calling that I had for you." I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and take a few moments and say, "Lord, I want you to have your way with my life. Lord, I just want you to have your way with my life. Father, I want you to convict me to seek you more consistently. Father, I want you to have your way to convict me to be open unto you. Father, help me to memorize in my heart a prayer that says, Lord, don't bless my plans, but bless me with your plans. Lord, bless me with your plans today. Make clear to me. And Father, let me rest in the spirit of your guidance and your counsel. With heads bowed, would you spend a few moments with Jesus?